I've got a feeling deep inside, oh yeah, oh yeah. I've got a feeling I can't hide, no, no.
One of my favorite songs.
I know, isn't it classic?
I love it. Oh, of course, it's a classic. This is before you guys were born.
Yeah, it's pretty close. I think it's 70. It's 69.
Yeah. You think it was that late?
Yeah, it was. It's off by Let It Be.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, there's Paul getting into it.
All right, here we are, part two.
Heck yeah.
Part two of Jimmy Don Show on October 11th, 2008.
Exactly, 130 years later from the
135
years, right, after the So that was a good segment, the first part of this. Okay, so anyway, let me just go on here with a couple of extra things that might be of some import. The Army has decided to order the new pain trucks. We talked about this before. The new painkillers.
Yeah,
you know, the new
pain generators.
I love this thing. Yeah, the pain generators. After years, they call it an active denial system.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a little nervous because they said it turns out they might kill somebody. This is like they use the super high microwave thing or whatever it is. You know, it's like a microwave oven.
But it's like
600 yards. They're talking about coming up with a mini version that's only good for 200 yards.
Oh, good.
And I love this. It says the supposedly non-lethal blaster could be turned into a flesh frying killer. I love this. They call it a non-lethal weapon, but I didn't realize this. The 250 meters, the larger system has a range somewhat in excess of 700 meters. The Silent Guardian, they call it, weighs a shade over 10,000 pounds, and it will be mounted on an armored, ruggedized HEMT, which is a heavy expanded mobility tactical truck. I love these guys. They always the announcement arrives the same day as a news report from the less lethal weapons expert Dr. Jürgen Altman. He's a guy that analyzes the physics of several energy directed weapons, including the maximum. Let's see. Including active denial. The advanced tactical laser uses a non-lethal weapon. The pulsed energy projectile, otherwise known as the maximum pain laser, and the long-range acoustical device, LRT, a.k.a. the acoustic blaster. I'm thinking, you know, these are things I guess they're going to use instead of rubber bullets and fire hoses,
right,
on crowds.
When your eyeballs are boiling, you know you're hit.
As a consequence, the ADS provides a technical possibility to produce burns of second and third degree because of beam diameter, et cetera, 2 meter is wider than human size. Of course, it turns out if you're off to the side, you don't get, you know, you only get an arm burned, I guess, or something like that. But I love this. They're still looking for a handheld rifle one that'll do the same thing.
I want one on my keychain.
Yeah, right. And a lot of people, the last sentence is, a lot of people will be watching this very closely. So the Army has ordered new pain ray trucks.
Well, and you know, Jimmy, who's going to use them, right?
Yes.
As it turns out, this last week, they have done away with posse comitatus.
What?
No more posse comitatus.
What do you mean they? Okay, explain that to
us. Okay, posse comitatus is an act passed just after the Civil War, which basically removed federal troops from southern lands. Troops were called in originally to keep peace because the South kind of let everybody do what they wanted to because they were upset, of course, and they wanted basically citizen justice to reign and keep the blacks from doing anything.
Right.
So the national authorities sent in federal troops or left federal troops in there and they, quote, helped law enforcement, unquote, for a while until posse comitatus was passed, which basically says no more United States military troops in the United States homeland.
Right. And in fact, that's the way it's been ever since.
Until now.
Until now.
Wait. Let me just go back a little history here. as you well know, this comes from Roman times, that the Roman troops were not
allowed. Tell us about what you remember, Jimmy.
I remember that the big deal was when Caesar crossed the Rubicon, because you were not allowed to have your troops inside the Roman territory, and that was a big deal. So we come to that here in the United States. No federal troops allowed, the Army, the Navy, and so forth, not allowed inside the continental or inside the states to do law enforcement. They're supposed to have law enforcement, the police, here inside here. So no federal troops allowed in the United States ever until you're telling me now we can do it?
On September 30th, 2008, the U.S. Army announced a 3rd Infantry Division's 1st Brigade Combat Team will be under the day-to-day control of U.S. Army North, Army Services Component of Northern Command, NORTHCOM, as an on-call federal response force for natural or man-made emergencies and disasters, including terrorist attacks. And these soldiers are going to be trained how to use non-lethal techniques to subdue unruly or dangerous individuals without killing them. Unruly individuals. Basically, they're gonna assist the police when needed.
Oh my God!
Yep.
So now that's a threshold.
It is.
That is a dramatic threshold when you can use the army
yeah.
on
a
your own
force.
Citizens.
Right.
Yeah.
That's beyond. How can Jimmy say this? that's really, we talk about a police state, but when you can use the army against your own citizens.
When you can use the army, when you have the secret police force or your own army.
Well, the secret police, of course, that's like the FBI. Then now, for instance, the CIA, for instance, is not supposed to operate inside the United States either. That's the international thing. FBI only. And of course, the FBI is not supposed to use for law enforcement, or what are they supposed to, most investigation? No. Federal Bureau of Investigation. Right. Yeah. So not Federal Bureau of Enforcement.
Right. Right. They have the marshals to do the.
They have the marshals to do the arresting and so forth and so on. Okay. But now the army, that is phenomenal. I did not know that. Jimmy did not see that
come
across.
This is last week. This is
Jimmy must have been asleep.
We're in all new territory, Jimmy, because you know these disasters, which of course have never hit the United States before,
right? And no unruly people ever,
right? And you know, until now, everything could be handled with the local police, but not anymore.
Now they're going to use the pain threshold truck.
Did you
subdue the unruly people. And you can imagine who the unruly people are. These are the people that don't like... the protesters, right?
Well,
these are people that don't like what the government is doing.
Well, and in fact, EJ even chimed in, but he pulled an excerpt from it. He goes, we need a lot more in our toolbox in order to deal with angry people on the street, said Colonel Barry Johnson of U.S. Army North.
Oh, my God.
And then...
Angry people
damn
sure
on the street.
Damn sure don't want any of them around here.
No. And he says...
That dang First Amendment, golly days. We just get rid of that with a little pain truck.
It's like EJ, of course, had to chime in another thing. Their government transitioning to the place in preparation for the race riots after the assassination of one of the candidates, Black Palin, Biden, or McBain. McBain,
yeah. I love that. Yeah, McBain.
Yeah, sure enough. Hard to believe. And then
Jimmy, of course, has been calling for the last 3 years on this thing, and actually from the 98 thing, we've been talking about the coming of the police state and what form it would take. And here we are, another giant
leap forward for the government, another giant leap back for freedom and individual
rights. Liberty, that's right. And it's scary because people are... I didn't see this, which is even doubly scary. the boiling of the frog, and to think that this is really turning up the heat. This is another big degree, major degree up. And people are not rioting in the streets to try and prevent it. Of course, they get pain killed.
Yeah, they get wiped out.
They get zapped out.
And here, if you don't think that they're going to find a place to use it...
These are guys with toys, right?
Man, let me tell you. Tune in to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, where we have an avid listener there. How you doing, sir? What is it? Is it Peter? What's his name?
Gunner.
That's where he is?
Yeah.
All right, Gunner. I hope it wasn't you.
Appropriately named.
Yeah. Right.
I hope it wasn't you or any of your friends, Gunner, but a 19-year-old college student was just charged with terrorist acts in Tennessee for sending out a threatening email to 6 people wherein he vaguely threatened some sort of mass destruction. All right, so here, now, here they are, and they're arresting this guy, charging him with terrorist acts. And the question is are they going to be able to hold him without any constitutional rights? Can they basically deny him an attorney, bail, habeas corpus, anything? Waterboarding? Is this waterboarding activity? Because
he's a teenager, right?
Yeah, he's 19.
Okay. Well, no, yeah, then he's an adult. That's close enough.
Well, yeah.
Because he could join the army. Can't drink.
And they even said that his threat was possibly sent just to get out of a test.
He's felony arrested terrorist?
Oh, total felony. Oh, felony, man. They have a double felony.
double secret felony probation.
Seriously, this is...
Oh, my God.
And so, you know, they probably might want to call in that first brigade there.
Yep. I guess, and they can use one of these little pain pills on him or whatever it is, this thing here. Zap him with the microwave or whatever. But fry his brain. It'd be right out of... They can do the thing they do in Clockwork Orange. They can, you know, prop his eyeballs open and
make him watch
whatever it is. Make him watch Rachel Ray. I don't know, something. Oprah. Had to do it on you. Another step in the path towards totalitarianism right here.
Woo-hoo!
In the U.S. of A. Where are we headed? I don't know.
Land of the free.
Land of the free and yep.
Land of the free to beat your ass.
That's it. Well, the other thing, of course, that speaking of teenagers, I did notice that the new killer drones, of course, you know, we talked about them before, the killer drone, they're starting to come up with a new miniaturized. And it says today only experienced Air Force pilots are allowed to remotely operate the American fleet of killer drones. But tomorrow, the heavily armed robotic planes could be flown by 19-year-olds barely out of basic training. And the reason is because, obviously, they've been playing...
Lots of training.
As a result, ground forces often use the most junior of non-commissioned officers to fly their Shadows, which apparently is some kind of killer drone, teenagers who've never even been in combat. But now you think about it for a second. Here's a guy who said this is... one of the things that they have previously done, they wanted aviators to fly these drones, but those aviators are worn out from nonstop drone piloting duty, and it often takes a while to get a big UAV like a Predator over to where the captain or colonel needs it. There's which is why the new military development program underway to weaponize Shadow for special forces inside defense reports. The goal is to pair firepower with sophisticated visual sensors, giving lower echelon UAV operators capabilities heretofore reserved for operational level unmanned systems, which means that the young privates and corporals and specialists could be controlling killer drones someday soon. Now, one of the things that what they're talking about is some of these little tiny ones that are used for surveillance. They're going to put like one little bombette on them or one little gun or one. You know, put
a little baby bomb. That's right.
A little, you know, they can put like a Derringer on this thing or right. something. You know, with two shots or whatever, and they're going to let some kid, you know, who's been playing games, you know, on,
right.
and these guys are good. It reminds me of that. What was that movie where The Last Starfighter?
Yeah, right?
And this
that's exactly it. It's Last Starfighter come true right
that's
here.
That's it. Last Starfighter come true. I mean, right. This is it. I mean, the movie has we've already done this, and so
well, what happens when the kid's like. Drunk and he forgets.
Well, not only that, no, you don't
work forget. And not at home.
Oh, not only that.
Oh, look at all these people on the ground.
I mean, he, as far as he's concerned, he's playing a game.
Right.
I mean, it's
right.
not real people. These are like, it's like going to Las Vegas and playing with chips. It's not real money.
Right.
It's just chips. And so here you are looking at this TV screen. You got this thing around. You got two shots in your Derringer. You know, take out. I mean, he's a kid. What does a kid do? I want to blow something up. And there's a moving target. I think I'll blow it up. Why not? It doesn't hurt me any. He's from 1,000 miles away, and
right.
I mean, this is it's got to be just too much fun to be a kid today, being able to, you know, actually pilot these things. And of course, you can imagine if the guy's really good, like in The Last Starfighter, they're going to put him in a big one.
Oh yeah, no question. I mean, the geeks of today will be the fighter pilots of tomorrow.
Boy, isn't that the
no
truth.
I mean, I've seen people stay up all night long, 2-3 days in a row playing those games.
Well, it's like Cartman and those guys in South Park, you know, when they had to get the sword of whatever the hell it was.
Right.
Remember how they progressed from getting fatter and fatter and fatter because
right.
they sat in front of the game so long. Oh my God, that was a funny
one. There was
one.
Another one where Kenny he went to heaven to fight the devil, and they killed him off because they needed him because he was so good at this video game, and it was like And that's the way they kind of fought it. It was like the Golden Sony Console or whatever it was, Xbox.
Yeah, that's where it's going to be fought on. You're going to hit your PlayStation console.
I mean, you think about it. Some people that are really good at that could you put them up with a Predator UAV or whatever it is. And of course,
I'd be trying to hack in there, man.
Well, yeah, but I mean,
that'd be one of the things.
But yeah, exactly. I mean, it would be just like it ends up being like that Star Trek where you went into the little thing to kill yourself because the. Because the computer said...
Your time to die.
Well, the computer said that this part of the city had been wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody marched into the little disintegrator chambers from that area.
Right. Only they really will be wiped out.
Yeah, exactly. Only they really will be. Right, exactly right. They won't need the little disintegrator chambers. Mm-mm. They'll actually be... So, okay. Anything else on that particular item?
But there was a. Did you see the DARPA challenge? I thought this was pretty cool. They want to have a submersible airplane.
Yes, I sent you that. I thought that
was really cool.
Man, you got to be kidding me! I mean, that's like beyond James Bond.
Oh man!
I mean, flies out of the water. Flies.
Yeah, they
want to
have performance requirements.
Well, it's like that. It's almost like the thing from Star Wars. You know, whatever it was. You know, you go through the center of the Earth or whatever, and come up.
Well,
and
I got the article. It says performance requirements call for an aircraft that can cover 1,850 kilometers by air, 185 kilometers by sea, or 22 kilometers underwater in 8 hours or less.
Boy, I tell you, the drug smugglers would love that.
Oh, man. And,
you talk about bringing cocaine into the United States? Ooh, man, yeah. Catch me if you can, MF.
MF. DARPA wants it to be able to carry a crew of 8 tons of eight people and 2,000-pound payload.
Oh my God! Mm-hmm. Well, that's worth. Now think about it. What is the if 2,000-pound payload? Okay, let me ask you a question. So, what is the award for? Are they having an award for this? It's like a.
Like the X Prize?
Yeah, X Prize, right.
Well, I'm sure that the X Prize is...
But, I mean, is it worth...
You get X'd off to Area 51 and never get seen from again.
Well, no, but I'm wondering is, if they give you like $1 million, $2 million, the question you have to ask yourself is, how much is 2,000 pounds of cocaine worth?
Right.
In other words, they have to offer more money.
Yeah.
They can't. You can't beat the prices of drugs. You can't beat it.
Yeah, I was just wondering. But
it's not 2,000 pounds. You got to realize, if you had one person in the pilot and you took out the other 7 doors and replaced them with things that look like people, but they're all white and powdery, I mean, that 2,000-pound payload goes way up. You know?
5 snowmen and a...
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, okay. So that's the question is, we'll have to do a little math here to figure out what the X Prize would have to be in order to
You could tack another 1,400 pounds in there pretty quick with 7 guys waiting equipment.
That's true. And so you have to do the math to figure out how much that would be, and then make the X Prize worth twice that in order for people not to use it for the importation thing.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's good to know.
I'll find out if there's an actual cash prize on it. I think it'd be kind of fun to do.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
They want to call it the Tiger Shark submersible aircraft.
Let me just think now. I had so many other things here. The citizen terrorists were deleted. Oops.
Don't rule out nuclear power or dilithium crystal for that matter.
Yeah. I saw that.
That's cute. Yeah. Don't rule out dilithium crystal.
Citizen terrorists deleted. They had they got caught up in Maryland. Homeland Security mania has invited some startling abuses of police power. This is hard to believe. But we have yet to hear of any more knuckleheaded than the one in Maryland. There, the state police are sheepishly tracking down 53 innocent people to let them know they were entered as suspected terrorists in a state and federal databases. For the Orwellian offense of engaging in a peaceful protest. So apparently what happened was somebody nabbed them, the police, that is, and said, but these people were just, they're out there, whatever, we're for, I don't know, don't kill the babies or something. I don't know what it was. Legitimate, but it's interesting. Thomas Hutchins, a former state police superintendent, insisted that the program was a legitimate surveillance of, quote, fringe people.
Fringe people.
Yeah.
Not
suspects. He somehow defined he defined the fringe people as, quote, those who wish to disrupt the government, unquote.
Who wish to disrupt it.
Yeah.
Haven't taken any acts to disrupt it.
No. It's a chilling free speech distinction not found in the Constitution. This is from an editorial this might actually be from the New York Times. An instructive example of the abuses that can result when a mere invocation of terrorism is understood to override constitutional protection. So anyway, the point is that apparently what happened was these 53 people were entered into this horrible database so they couldn't do anything. And what had happened is they had been swept up in the surveillance. Now, the question you have to ask yourself is, here we got the Army coming in and all this other stuff. Could this happen again, do you suppose? I don't know.
I don't know.
This is probably a one-shot. I'm guessing now that this has been exposed here in this editorial, that we don't have anything to worry about.
They got controls, and there's a supervisory board which supervises them and makes sure that they don't overstep their limits.
Okay, well then I'm happy.
Right.
Okay, then I'm not worried at all. I was worried there for a minute, but
they're going to self-police, Jimmy.
Okay, police are going to self-police. No, right. Thin blue line there. Nobody, no cover-up, no CYA. Ever.
No way, man. These are the good guys.
That's right. They're the good guys. It's funny because Grandma is one of those. You know, Grandma's husband was with the FBI, and of course she is. If there's a law passed, no matter how egregious, well, it's the law.
Right.
So you know, you don't like it, you get the law changed. I'm sorry. The law says you get shot for crossing the road.
Blick.
Yeah. Huh.
Because you're blick.
Because you did a jaywalk and that's a shooting. That's fine. That's the law. You don't like it, you change the law. A couple of people die. A little collateral damage. It's okay. God love you, Grandma. The other thing that I've got has to do with the way things are headed in this country, which we love, of course. I love the country, not the government kind of thing. This is from yesterday, October 10th. Pint-sized eco-police making parents proud and sometimes crazy. This, to me, shows one of the things that I've seen this happen, actually, to moi, to a lesser extent. I think I talked about this before that has to do with the seat belts that you have to have for kids. But this has to do with the kids are being taught in schools, as you well know, about ecology and about the environment. And they're shaming their parents into doing things. You know, they're telling them not to idle the car and this kind of thing. Sometimes Jennifer Ross feels she cannot make a move without inviting the scorn of her daughters, 10-year-old Grace and 7-year-old Eliza. An Acura MDX she drives, a flagrant polluter, a bath at night to help her relax, a wasteful indulgence. The reusable shopping bag she forgot again, tisk tisk. I have, and she, quote, I have very environmentally conscious children, more so than me, I am embarrassed to say. She's embarrassed, okay, by this, but said Ms. Ross, she's a social worker in Dobbs Ferry, New York. They're on my case about getting a hybrid car. They want me to replace all the light bulbs with energy-saving bulbs. Mrs. Ross's children are part of what experts, I love this, experts, who are they, say is a growing army of eco-kids, steeped in environmentalism at school, in houses of worship, through scouting, and even via popular culture, who try to hold their parents accountable at home. Amid their pride in their children's zeal for all things green, the grown-ups sometimes end up feeling like scufflaws, under the watchful eye of the pint-sized eco-police whose demands grow ever greater and more expensive. I mean, this is stunning this is the schools and the scouts and everybody have finally managed. Can you imagine when you are held hostage by your 7-year-old because they tell you you didn't empty it? I don't know. You wasted water. You left the hot water on too. The hot water heater. You're supposed to take a cold bath, Mom. And the mother sits there and is ashamed by it instead of whomping them across the
face. I got into it with somebody the other day because they thought I was using too many paper towels. And I was going, I could go literally to the store and buy an entire truck full of paper towels and throw it in the landfill, and you would not be able to see it from outer space. I mean, it's like, and I go, my peace of mind, let me put it this way. You're getting out of the house right now. We're going to go and end this relationship right now, okay? Because I'm not taking any crap for how many paper towels I use. Trust me. You know? They'll make more, you know? Trees grow, people, you know?
that's not all. Again, so much of this is the, to me, it's the indoctrination that occurs. In Clinton Hill, Brooklyn, Jan Schmidt, a stay-at-home mother, and Mark Getz, a professor of furniture design, have watched amazed as their 4-year-old son chastises them. 4 years old. Chastises them for letting water run while they brush their teeth. 4 years old. I mean, the little brat, he'll come over and say, turn it off. Every day is Earth Day. He learned it at school. I'm trying to think, wait a minute.
Maybe on the space station, turn it off.
Yeah, or on a submarine, you know, or something like that. Their older child, 12-year-old Ellie, extols the clothesline in her bedroom as the way other girls her age might show off a beanbag chair. An aspiring marine biologist, Ellie raised $250 last year to protect coral reefs by selling handmade earrings at school, and she was a big factor in the family's decision to hang on to their current car instead of buying a new one. I mean, can you imagine their 12-year-old had it made, was in the decision on whether to buy a new car, I would have told the 12-year-old where to get. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, this
well,
is.
Maybe she's in the inheritance business. She's just trying to preserve as much as possible.
That
she's
going
to get excluded
too.
Pretty
they
quick.
They learn right, this right. stuff everywhere. In the summer, the Pixar film Wall-E served up an ecological parable of a planet so punished that it had to be abandoned. The Girl Scouts recently added patches, including environmental health, get with the land, earth pact, and water drop. Four new badges. Scholastic, this is the scary part. The Scholastic, which should be called the Socialist Marxist something or another, this which is a magazine, the Global Children's Publishing Education and Media Company, has teamed up with American Museum of National History to create websites and magazines about climate change and other environmental. Now they call it climate change here instead of whatever they call it.
Global warming.
Yeah, it's not global warming anymore.
No, that's right. Climate change and other environmental issues. The Scholastic message board where children share eco-friendly tips called Save the Planet had 3 million page views last year. School districts across the country are adding lessons in the environment to their curriculums in many subject areas. I mean, now you take math, and the way they do the math is to say, okay, here's the deal. You've got, four trash bags that are made of plastic, and you multiply that by, you know, three hemp bags made out of marijuana.
Right.
And what, you know, I mean, what, I don't know. It's
you get
just
some really bad pot.
That's it. And in Armonk, New York, middle school teachers plan to roll out new material related to the environment starting in January. I mean, this is the Children's Environmental Literacy Foundation they've got, for middle schools. What I love this.
Well, and our economy really can handle a lot of environmentalism right now.
No question. But you have to be rich in order to do it. One of the things that people don't realize is
I was being sarcastic, Jimmy. I mean,
I'm sorry. No. The fact is that you can. You have to, in order to save the planet, you have to have some money. You have to have capital. In order to buy a scrubber for your polluting tower, you have to have made a profit. On your tower first.
Right.
You can't do it in a subsistence society. You know, you poop on the ground and you leave it there. You don't have enough money to clean it up. you have to have some profit in order to be able to clean up the mess.
Yeah, and
you have to get rich.
And I'd just like to give a shout out to all those people out there who have a whole bunch of environmental plans, want us to conform to the Kyoto Treaty and all that kind of stuff. It costs money. I got news. It costs money. If you're worried about the economy, then you got to make a tough choice.
Yep.
Do you want to be more green or do you want to have enough food to eat? Because there you go. That's your choice.
That's pretty much your choice, yeah. But I love this. I'm getting down here towards the end, which I love this towards the end, as usual, the last.
Well, the other thing is the technology also makes it easier to
be
green.
Well, that's the other thing. That's right.
And
in order to do the technology, you have to invest capital in order to come up with it. Of course, there is a crossover point. At what point, and this is a decision that you always make when you're doing an investment, when you are salting money aside, when you're saving money, that is, when you're building capital, at what point do you start to draw it out and spend it on something?
Mm-hmm.
And so, for instance, if you want, for instance, a DVD player, you know, they originally, when they first came out, they were $1,000.
Right.
So how long do you wait? You know, do you start saving money aside as the price comes down? And at what point do you take out of your capital and buy, you know, and spend the money on the DVD player? Well, there's a crossover
point. You buy a DVD player with a DVD in it and you just throw it all away when you're done.
Well, I understand that. No, that's exactly right. I mean, that's where you go. My point is that this is why all economics is on the margins. Somebody had to buy the $1,000 one, very few people. The price comes down, and then more and more people. There's a crossover point for every individual at what point they decide to make that decision. Now, on a global scale, you know, where's the crossover point for saving the planet, quote unquote? Well, we might not have enough money to do it. I don't think we do, to be honest with you. I don't think there's enough money for us to save the planet. So we have to build up some more capital, which is, unfortunately, involves a little more pollution and so forth, in order to have the funds, the technology, and so forth as the technology increases. And this is one of the things I've talked about before as far as nuclear power is concerned. You know, they're talking about, well, what are we going to do with all the waste products? I mean, it's got a 300,000 year lifespan on the waste product. I'm thinking, who the hell's worried about that? I mean, if you let the waste product, you do an X prize for that, for God's sakes. I mean, believe me, they'd have a cure for the waste products on the nuclear plants inside of 10 years if they put out a $10 million X prize on how to salvage it. And not only that, If you think that humans are going to be on this planet 300,000 years, you're out of your mind. Well, if you think they're going to be here in 1,000 years, you're crazy.
I mean, they've already built the Yucca Mountain over there for to store all this
stuff.
Well,
of course, the big thing they're worried about is actually getting the stuff over there.
Well,
that's what everybody's panicky about. They're worried that the train is going to offload someplace, you know, tip over.
Have you seen
over
where trains go? It doesn't matter if the train blows up on the way there. It's not going to...
For you, it doesn't, right. But I'm telling you, there are people that live in some off... They live on Goose Creek Island, like, what's his name?
Professor Falcon,
and they're worried about the train in Memphis, Tennessee,
right.
And they're all panicky about it, and they write the congressman, say, you can't do this, and there's enough people, and the congressman says, okay, you can't right. do it. I mean, right.
You hit it on a minute ago, Jimmy. Individual people should make the decisions about when to turn off the water when they're brushing their teeth and how much hot water to use for their shower. There shouldn't be an environmental czar like we're on the way to having here as soon as Obama gets elected.
Yep.
I'm sure they're just going to mandate it top
well,
down.
Well, they do here locally, interestingly enough. Here locally, in order to do the green business. As you know, we have to separate our trash out here, out front, on Wednesdays. I've got two cans plus another can. You know, I've got one for paper, one for plastic, and one for crap. It's mandatory to do it, if you're in a commercial business. You can get arrested here locally if you don't separate your glass and plastic and paper and cardboard and so forth.
And it always helps the economy to arrest a businessman.
Yeah, right. That's exactly what you want to do. But that's number one, is that they've done that. Also here on water, of course, Florida, believe it or not, actually, we actually have water here in Florida, pretty good supply, but you'd think we had none. You'd think we're, you know, Death Valley, the way they treat this stuff around here, because we have springs here in Florida that right. just a jillion.
Oh, you should see, there's a great PBS special that Jack Rhodes gave me a copy of when they're down there. They actually had this radio kind of telemetry that they could follow the divers down, and they're 60 feet down under the in the ground, and they're going through these caverns, you know, huge caverns of fresh water cruising through there, and then you see somebody's like little well head coming down in there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, but it's like it's incredible. Like, I mean, just monster caverns of water.
When you look at it, I mean, I understand.
It turns into a monster sinkhole when it dries up.
Yeah, that's right. It'll be like something you can walk through and have some fun.
Right,
you know,
right.
Camp out.
The guys are sitting there, with
and
a little...
the smoke will go right up that guy's pipe.
And it's like, I mean, it's like they were like walking through like a Wendy's and a, you know, Burger King and a gas station. And say, yeah, well, there's divers right underneath this right now. You know, and they're going, no way. It's like, yeah, they're just swimming from one spring to the next.
Well, we've got springs here that literally turn out just literally millions of gallons an hour.
Oh, absolutely.
And they're as far as you're concerned, as I say, the people talk about it here, you'd think we were on Death Valley. But here locally in Gainesville, the rate structure for water is inverse to what you'd think it would be. You get a pretty cheap rate up to what they consider to be a reasonable amount of water.
Right.
And then after that, they nail your ass because you're a heavy user. Right. And so they raise the price, even though it costs them actually less to deliver it.
Conspicuous
consumption. Right. In other words, if you've got a big old fat lawn, what they do is you were paying, I don't know, a nickel a gallon or whatever. A
Jimmy
penny a
Doan's Wacky Water World.
That's it. So, you know, and of course, one of the
$5
things, and they actually just recently here raised what they called the base rate. That is to say, if you use no water, they raised the...
You still pay.
You still pay. Yeah, it's like it went from like $5 to $25 or something. That's just for having the pipe to your house. You don't even turn it on. You have to pay that. Well, this one guy went down there and says, well, and you can still actually do this here. It'll be interesting to see when they prohibit it. You can actually still drill your own well. You're allowed to do that here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how long that's going to last. I mean, literally, you when you think about it, it wouldn't be too hard.
I'm sure you got to get 47 permits.
You do. You do have to have permits. And, of course, the guy has to speak. I want to talk about that, too, in a second. You have to get a licensed and bonded, you know, drilling guy and everything. For you to go out there and actually dig a hole in the ground, forget it. You know, you ain't going to do that. They're going to... arrest. I'm sure they would arrest you for that.
If you turn your hose on full blast.
I know that. You can do it. But unfortunately, I will say that here locally.
You stick it in the ground.
Right.
Here locally.
The size of the hole you can come up with.
Locally, our water table recently has it goes up and down. But since I've been here in the last 40 years or so, our water table has probably dropped 50, 60 feet.
Mm.
So, I mean, it used to be, literally, you could put a hose in the ground and make a well.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. You have to go down about 150
feet.
Well,
and everybody should recognize the unnecessary expense in all of the licensors and everything.
Oh, well, you know, speaking of that, the talking about the licensing, what they did yesterday, the 10th of October, they had a sting operation, and they went out and arrested in northern Florida here something like 17 or 25 or 57 what they called unlicensed contractors. Mm. What they did was they got a house someplace, and the police like rented it, and it needed some renovation. So they called up the people on Craigslist and in the newspaper that said handyman, and they asked them, came out
and got them to do some work.
Exactly, and then arrested them.
That sounds a lot like entrapment to me.
Well, they did it. Let me tell you, it was funny because in the article that I read in today's paper, it was actually, and this is very interesting, in today's paper when I read it, it said you have to have a license if you want to connect two wires together.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Two wires together.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting here looking at this fan up here in the ceiling, and literally it needs
two wires
hanging out there that haven't been connected up for the last.
You can't do that, Jimmy. You're not licensed to do that. But if the place burns down, I bet your insurance company has an out.
I think since it's mine, I think I get to do it. But if anybody else were to walk in here and do it, I think then they'd be. And by the way, it was felony. They arrested him on felony. Normally it's a misdemeanor. But for some reason, I forget how they worked it, but those seven...
They bumped up all the laws one level?
They bumped them all up, and the contractor, quote, because they were unlicensed, these were handymen, and they had them come in, and they had to do a little work. Now, interesting, the work that they had them do, they outlined what it was. Right. Well, some of the work...
Some people doing some stuff over there right now.
Fortunately... This is not live, lest we be arrested. No, the work that they had, they outlined in this article the work that they had them do, and some of it was, four of the five things were like totally trivial. I mean, it was stuff like, I don't know, like put in a fan, change a light bulb, I don't know what it was. But the fifth one was they had to replace the front door with a brand new door that was bigger. So, I mean, that was major surgery. And so they arrested, and it was all over, like in five counties up here, and they got a whole ton of people, and they had all their names in the paper and everything. But, I mean, these are guys that hold themselves out as being handymen, but you didn't have a license.
Right.
Felony. I mean, these guys are in jail on, big charges. I mean, can you imagine? It's just scary. And of course, what they said was, this is all, and of course, the licensing people, we're protecting the homeowners against unscrupulous people, and you get what you pay for. And I'm thinking, yeah, that's the whole point, isn't it? I mean, I knew the guy, and we want to, these people, and they might have thought they were licensed, and, if somebody trips and falls, they could lose their home for the liability, and I'm thinking, yeah. But I mean, the whole point is the reason I got the handyman in here, he was half price.
Right.
And I'm willing to take the risk. So, I mean, the point is that these guys, I mean, and when you realize that this was like, it took them 6 months to put this together. This was 6 months. They had, a giant sheriff's raid. They had, blue lights, dogs, badges everywhere. I mean,
like
sirens, the whole thing.
They're cleaning up the town.
They cleaned up the town, by God. And they, unlicensed felony.
That always helps the economy.
And yeah, exactly. I thought, boy, this is sad. Well, they were so proud of it. I mean, you talk about the pride that the enforcement people, I mean, everybody involved in this, the licensing people out of Tallahassee, the code enforcement.
Congratulations all the way around. Plaques everywhere.
Plaques everywhere. That's right. I mean, Trophy Shop was, did a bang up. They had a big spike in there.
Ooh, we should buy some stock in the Trophy Shop.
Now, you want to know, that's right, because that's all that's going to be left. Yeah. If we had a way to do it, we should get some. That would be a good investment in the Trophy Shop, because there's going to be plaques all around.
Yep.
I love it.
Woo.
So anyway, that was a digression from the Enviro freaks of the kids. But I love this. For us, Earth Day is a reason to go outside, said Mr. So-and-so, an executive with Soltage, a solar energy company. But for the kids, it's a religious holiday.
What's a religious holiday?
Man, the Earth Day.
People talk about what it is for the kids. BS, man. The kids make up their own mind about what it is for them. And,
Well, they get rewarded. I mean, think about it. There's so many levels on this, and Stefan Molyneux up in Canada has talked about the abuse, child abuse, and so forth. And one of the things that you have a real problem as a parent is that you're automatically, if you're not very, very careful, and I don't even think you can avoid it, you're automatically as a parent involved in child abuse because you are, anywhere from 5'4" to 6'2", and you've got this little munchkin that's 2 feet tall. I mean, even a 4-year-old is going to realize that they're dealing with a giant. And when the giant says, do something, you don't even have to be threatened to understand this giant can kill you. I mean, it is, and for the giant has to actually earn your respect in a way that doesn't involve beating the shit out of you. And that's one of the things that is apparent, of course. It is almost impossible to avoid some level of child abuse. And for those parents that don't understand that that's going on.
And this is not an admission of any type.
No. But anyway, so it's an Ann Tedesco, a psychologist, an arm of psychologists, said her daughter Celeste, 9, is always policing the regular garbage bins to make sure we're not throwing paper in there. She particularly enjoys catching her older sister. I mean, this is just scary when you think
about it. Give her a badge.
Here's what I like is the end story of this. Dr. Tedesco's husband, Rick, a lawyer, recalled how their son Lucas, 7, kept reminding him to turn off the engine while he was waiting outside the school to pick him up.
Oh crap! I forgot.
Yeah, I was only idling for a minute. I explained it uses more gas and pollutes the atmosphere to turn the engine off and back on again. He said, I looked it up afterward to make sure I wasn't exaggerating. He was in the clear. He had to prove to a 7-year-old son, you know, that several blogs asserted, these are important places to get this information,
yeah,
asserted that idling for a minute is preferable to shutting off the engine and restarting. I mean, so he had to go to the internet to prove to a 7-year-old instead of telling him to shut up. So I just love that stuff. Of course, the other thing that came along here, and speaking of the environment, is the news. Let's see, I've got it right here, is eating kangaroos could help stop global warming. Here we are. An offbeat suggestion that Australia, it turns out that kangaroos, you know, there's like jillions of them out there, and they're good protein and everything, but they don't do the methane thing.
Mm.
So I guess we ought to...
What do you mean they don't do the methane thing?
Like cows and everything, you
right.
know, the methane that they do?
Oh, so in other words, so just eat the... But if we ate up all the cows and didn't breed any more cows, and then we switched to kangaroos, and we're really cleaning it up.
Then we what now?
They're really in good shape.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, that's what this article's all about.
Right.
And Jimmy's all for that.
I'm all for it too. Hey man, kangaroo jerky, kangaroo burgers, no problem. I mean, there's a kangaroo. I guess they don't serve kangaroo burgers at the gas station around here.
That's the gas station, right? They serve gas there.
But you think
of all places that you get a kangaroo burger, be Outback.
Oh, of course.
We ought to complain to them.
I mean,
if they're an Aussie thing?
Right.
Seems little enough to ask.
Koala chips or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
That's right, koala chips. I like that.
Well, did you see that little Aussie boy breaked into the zoo and he started feeding animals to the croc?
Yeah, the lizard.
7-year-old boy broke into a popular Outback zoo, fed a string of animals to the resident crocodile.
Apparently, there were some of them were like semi-endangered or something. You know, as Stephen Wright once said, you know what? I've got a real problem when my endangered animal wants to eat an endangered plant. You know, what the hell's going on here?
The child went on a killing spree, bashing lizards to death with a rock, including the zoo's beloved 20-year-old Ghana. Then he fed to Terry an 11-foot, 440-pound saltwater croc. Yep.
I'm surprised that Terry didn't come up and eat the kid.
The boy also fed several live animals to Terry by throwing them over the two fences surrounding the crocodile's enclosure, and at one point climbing over the outer fence to get closer to the giant reptile. Yep. And it says his face was largely blank. It was like he was playing a game. By the time he was done, 13 animals worth around $5,500 have been killed, including a turtle, bearded dragons, and thorny devil lizards. Although none were considered rare, some are difficult to replace, he said. We are horrified that anyone can do this and saddened by the age of the child. Only 7. Saddened by the age of the child.
Why? Yeah. Would they have been less sad if the kid had been 4 or 22?
No, they'd have been sadder if it was 4 because he's more, well, you know,
oh,
Jimmy,
more of a sociopath early in life.
Well, right. For the children. You know, they want the children to have.
And children under, they were saddened because children under the age of 10 can't be charged with criminal offenses in the Northern Territory.
That's
why they were saddened.
That's why. That's right. Saddened. So he had another couple years to go. He could still do this and not be charged.
Mm-hmm. Oh, by then they'll have it retroactive anyway. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he turns 10. You're book'em, Dano.
When you were 7.
Yeah, it's going to be on his record. You know, he's 70 years old now. It says here you...
It's something the zoo.
Felony
feeding.
Zoo frenzy something.
Well, we don't have those stupid laws here, man. If you're 5 years old, you can be charged here in Florida.
Yeah, that's true.
We used to have common law exception under 7, but they did away with that by statute.
Really?
Yep.
Wait a minute. Let me get this straight. Are you telling me that if a 6-year-old goes out and blasts his brother away and means to do it, say my sister, my 8-year-old sister, she was, you know, doing something, and I went and got a gun and blasted her away, and then what happened?
Yeah, until like the 1950s or something. And here in Florida, I think they say, you know what, you get a spanking. I mean, because they don't understand what's happened for the most part. I mean, and everybody knew that, but of course now it doesn't matter. I've literally seen the 4-year-old brought up in front of the judge, and the judge.
No, come on.
Oh yeah, no, I've seen it, man.
In cuffs?
No, they.
Don't handcuff him, huh?
No, let me think. No.
They use rubber bands?
Not even a little stringy thing, I don't think.
Not even the what do you call the zip ties?
Yeah, zip ties.
Yeah.
No, I think they just marched her in there. You know, I mean, she didn't even know where she was.
Right.
You know, and here's this guy in a robe telling her, "You better not do. Who are you? And where are these people? Where's my mom?" And I mean, just
Was she running a meth lab? What was she doing?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
No. It was something like, you know, she threw her toy at her brother or something. I mean, stupid. It was.
So what did the judge do?
They gave her a judicial warning.
Yeah.
But I mean, it just outlines
Missy.
Yeah, exactly.
Missy.
You know, it just shows you the ridiculousness. It's like, what? You know, what are we wasting our time? I mean, here we were. We spent about 15 minutes where about 7 lawyers, 7 doctoral degree people, bailiffs, judges, the whole courtroom came to a standstill for about 7 or 10 minutes or whatever while we scolded a 4-year-old.
Didn't anybody just break into hysterics on this?
I was about to, but I mean, you know, my mouth was on the ground.
You probably get for
contempt. He was doing the Roger Rabbit, bro.
Yeah, seriously, I mean, I had to scrape
up
my chin.
Would you have gotten a contempt
first.
Of court if you'd been laughing your ass
probably.
Off?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. You never.
Judge laugh? I mean, why didn't the judge just go, what the hell are you doing? What is this?
Because the law is different nowadays. I mean,
screw it. I mean, I realize the law is different and all that. But still, what's somebody going to do if they walk in there and the judge says, this is, get out of here. I don't even want to see this. And
then they leave. I mean, they'll leave if the judge tells them to leave. But
I mean, I can't imagine, you know, a responsible law or no law and something like that. I would think that the judge would bear the consequences. That is to say, if it's the law, then somebody could bring a censure thing against the judge for, you know, disregarding the law or however. How does that work?
No. I mean, the judge had the power to dismiss it based on your judge always has the power. If you enter a plea, you can plead straight to the court and the court can just say your sentence is nothing. And I'm going to adjudicate you not guilty or withhold adjudication or whatever. I mean, and they didn't do anything. She didn't create a record for her or anything like that. And that's probably why the judge went along with it, was because all he was doing was telling her not to do it anymore. But it was just amazing to me to see the kind of stuff that happens sometimes.
Well, as I mentioned previously, and I've talked about this before, I mean, literally, I would be like so in jail if the stuff that I did as a kid, we all did as kids. Not you guys, but I mean, when I was a kid, the stuff that we did was just strictly mischief. I mean, it was just mischief. And you got chastised, and I can tell you that I remember got dragged into the police station one time, and they said, you know, what were you doing? And I, you know, was properly chagrined. They said, we're going to call your mother. And yeah, okay, fine. You know, what's your mother?
You'll never find that grenade.
Yeah. And, you know, and it was basically, that was it. But I mean, today, I hesitate to think what would have happened.
Well, all you got to do is look around. You know, they're snatching people's kids left and right, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
There's no way to make money off that. You can't have, like, a big halfway house for kids or something, charge them admission, and, you know.
Yeah, well, a lot of people are making a killing off of it. Like, I talked to this person the other day from someplace called the Family Abuse Center in Orlando, where they run a 29-week batterer's intervention program that is mandatory for pretty much everybody in the state of Florida if you get any kind of domestic violence charge. Mm-hmm. And the way the system works is that they've got it rigged. Yeah, they got it rigged so that if you miss a class, you have to start over.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Okay,
they do that with the DUI. Drinking
place. You can go through 26 weeks of this thing and miss week 27, and you go back to the beginning and you pay all over
pay
again
all
and everything.
Over again.
And they love it. And I called them up because the judge asked me to find out what happened. I had a client who dropped out of one of the classes, and the judge said, you know, find out what's in those last few classes to see what the guy didn't learn. And I called him up and I said, you know, what's in the last few classes? And she said, well, it doesn't really matter because we have to start over. And I said, yes, I understand that. but what's in those last few classes? And they said, well, it doesn't matter. And I said, I understand that you think it doesn't matter, but the judge wants to know what's in those last few classes. And they were like, well, it's really irrelevant because, and at that point I just gave up and I said, all right, I'm going to get a court order and then you're going to tell me. And that's just all there is to it.
Bitch.
See you then, you know. So, but you know, they've got all those people who are running all those programs. Now, what they've got now is they've got all these feel good programs for if you do anything wrong.
Wait, feel good for who?
For the Democrats, for the beating heart liberals have set this stuff up where they go, okay, instead of punishment, we're going to offer services and classes to these people, which is really just punishment. Because they have to pay for it, and it's basically just jail over here with a bunch of people that, you know, you can't leave and you have to pay, right. As opposed to, you know, actual jail. And then they pat themselves on the back and said, we offered these services to these people, and they accepted services. And it's like, you know right away that it's BS when every single time they bring these kids back in and ask them if they want services to continue, the kids just every single time say, no thanks. No thanks, judge. I don't want your help. I don't want your services. Take your dang services and stick them.
And, stick them.
You know, and that's what's happening. But it's all under the guise of civil help now. And so those people are making a killing. So yeah, you can do that if you want
to. And they're probably, you know, I wouldn't doubt for a second that they're nonprofit organizations.
Oh, yeah, well, absolutely. They're probably
nonprofit. I saw something the other day that, somebody wanted to set up this nonprofit, and I thought to myself, you know, there's no such thing. I got a newsflash for you. There's no such thing. There's profit involved. It's just that it doesn't go to any shareholders. It goes to the limousine that the guy takes to work, or, you know, the big high salary, or whatever it is.
Benny Hinn's 2G5 Gulfstream jets.
Yeah, right. You know, it's a business write-off. Give me a break. And that's one of the reasons I've always objected to nonprofit organizations. I think they're a scam, and I know they are, as a matter of fact. Nope.
All right, well, we're going to...
I'm about done.
Yeah, we're going to wrap it up here. I'd like to give a shout-out again to Brandon at Radio 360 Talk.
Yeah, now we're on there like on some kind of rotation, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully even more. So that's why I'm making sure that this show fits in with his time frame.
Okay, good.
So anyway, love you guys. Keep those emails coming. Jimmy@JimmyDone.com. Eric@JimmyDone.com. Eric spelled with a K. Curtis@JimmyDone.com.
Oh, you might go over just for last. If you might go to Podcast Alley and put in a vote, should move us. Yeah, I think one vote would move us.
Podcast Alley.
Yeah, that's another one.
Okay.
Not the other one. I don't know.
We're gonna give you the results on Podcast Awards. Yeah, whatever it was.
I think that I don't know when those results come in, but the
19th.
The 19th, right? Yeah. So anyway, right. But and we hopefully we'll be up on that because we had a bunch of people that did that.
Yeah.
But on Podcast Alley, I when I did a check. It turns out that like one or two votes moves you way up the scale. I mean, it's just into top territory.
Right.
So it might be kind of fun just for laughs.
Well, then go do it.
Yeah. Podcast Alley.
The show's over. Get off that exercise bike.
Yeah, that's right. Like you were there.
Right.
I'm sorry. Put those Cheetos down now.
Yeah, I thought he was talking to me. He's good.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
All right, I'm leaving you guys with a little spider monkey. Thank you. I'm taking